Tonight we'll go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I've taught these books before, but they're so foundational. There's so much information in John's writings. He has such an insight in God's into God's heart. He has a different view from other writers because of his closeness to God. So there's a lot of insight in this we need to hear about. So as Paul said, it's not grievous for me to write these same things to you again. It's not grievous for me to teach these things again, because every time I teach them, they change. What I'm going to teach tonight, if I would teach it next week, I guarantee you, if you took two tapes, you would find more revealing every time you touch it. There's a more of a revealing out of it. So I don't have a problem with doing it over again. And I feel there's so much in here we need to know about. There's a lot of controversial things we need to know about in this chapter. And give me some grace, because it's going to take an hour or better tonight. Father, we bless you tonight for the revealing of yourself in us. Father, for the tests you've given us, for the trials you've placed within our life, the obstacles that we need to overcome to bring us to maturity, that, Father, we may be a ripe fruit, fully mature and ready to be placed in the trough, to be trodden out. Father, we bless you tonight for the revelation of your love in us, for your presence in us. Father, open our hearts and minds, and may we truly understand by the Spirit of God tonight. May we understand what you're trying to teach us. May we go away tonight from this meeting, Father, knowing how much you love us and how much of a revealing you are giving to us. Father, tonight we love you. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even now, even until now. He that loveth his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and knows not whither he goes, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it's the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. God, there's a whole bunch in this chapter. I don't know why they make the one first one little tiny one and the second one great big one. You know, these chapters. We'll deal with them as we can. We just got through finding out in the other chapter, the first chapter, the very last verse says, if we say that we have not sinned or literally offended, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That word was logos, right? Logos is speaking of who? The Christ. So if it says the word's not in you, the Christ is not in you. You understand that? People that say they have never offended, we make him a liar, and that's saying the Christ really isn't in them. Now, it's not saying there is no seed of Christ in them. It's saying there's no manifestation of the Christ, is there? No manifestation of the Christ. So he turns around and says in the next verse, my little children. Now, this word children's technon. If you look up the word, it says a produced child. Just as surely as Paul said to Timothy, my beloved son whom I have begotten in the Lord. Okay? John is talking about these people he's talking to. He's calling them technons. Technon is a produced child. What do you think he's thinking about there? Don't you think he feels like he's the father to these people that he's birthing into the kingdom? See? He feels like he is a father figure to these people. Okay? Very healthy to have father figures, right? These things write I unto you, or to you, in order that you what? Literally, you offend not. See? The word sin here literally is offend. Okay? If Jesus came to take away the sin of the world, why are we talking about sins? I don't even like the word anymore. I don't even like to use it. The language says offend. Okay? So I'm going to say, I don't want to offend anybody. Okay? But now we can offend someone and it's healthy. But we can offend someone and be destructive, can't we? Today I think I did that. Today I think I offended some. Didn't try to, just happened. Okay, and if any man offend, we have a what? This word advocate here is literally the Greek word parakletos. Para means near, okay? And literally it means we have an intercessor. Okay, if we offend, we have an intercessor. In Romans 8:29, is that where it is? 8:26. It says, sometimes we don't know how to pray. But the Spirit makes what? Intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We haven't got a clue sometimes how to talk to God, have we? We've got a situation and we haven't got a clue how to get out of it. We don't even got a clue how we got in it. Right? Our inner being speaks out because we haven't got a clue. It's that Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit in each one of us that just does it. See, we don't have a choice, do we? God's in control, and we want to think everybody else is. But the Spirit just prays right out of us, speaks out of us, and does things. But literally, we have this intercessor with the Father, and then He comes right back and tells us who it is. Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is not His first name and Christ His last name. He's Jesus the Anointed. Christ is the word anointed. Christos means anointed. It's Jesus, the anointed Jesus is who we're talking about. Now, this anointed Jesus that we're talking about, where is He at? Ah. You mean that man that walked 2,000 years ago wasn't? No. He was the first. He was the first fruit of all creation, the book says. He was the first example of how things were supposed to be. Adam was showing you what happened with the natural man. Jesus showed you this is the way it's supposed to be. Okay? With the anointing, the man can walk it out. And it says, we have an advocate or an intercessor with the Father, Jesus, the Christ, the what? The word righteous here is literally the innocent or the just. The word righteous is not the literal language. The language literally says He's the right, He's the innocent and the just one. He was innocent because He never offended anything, did He? He never violated any of God's laws, did He? So He was innocent. And you know what? So are you. So are you. He says we're innocent. We're not guilty. Okay? So you got to know these things. We are not guilty. We're not guilty, not because of us, but because of what He has done for us. Okay? So we're not guilty. And He is the what? Literally, the word is atonement. He is the atonement for our sins, or literally our offenses. He is the atonement, the sacrifice. He is the sacrifice for our sins. Or, like I said, I don't like the word. I keep saying it. It's so caught up in our language. But He is the sacrifice for all the offenses. Now, the only offenses that really matter is when I offend God, if I offend one of God's rules or regulations. Does that make sense? That's the main thing. And when God put the law out in the Old Covenant, if you offended the law, you would die. But because Christ came and was the sacrifice for that, for all sins of the world, didn't I just read that there? For all sins of the world, guess what? We don't have to worry about that anymore. It's gone. Does that mean we'll never make a mistake, never do anything wrong? Nope. All it means is he's already paid the penalty for it. So I don't have to be in condemnation about it, do I? But He is the atonement for our offense and not for ours only. Now He's talking to the people that know the truth. He said, not ours only, but also for the, and the sins of, the words, these sins of, shouldn't be there. So it says, but also for the whole world. The whole world. Now, when He says world, He's not talking about this big globe that we're sitting on, called Earth, that we call the world. The word here is cosmos. It means the orderly arrangement. It's talking about the arrangement in our thinking process. Okay? So God sent His Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice, the atonement for all the wrong thinking in the earth. Okay? For every wrong thought process, He was that atonement. Not for ours only, because we have wrong thought processes too, don't we? But for the ones of the whole world. Now, how come people can't see that? Why do they want to think that they're better than somebody else because they go to church? He didn't say, if you go to church, I'll be your atonement, did He? He just said, I'm the atonement for the whole world. And I know He said not to add to and take away, so I just got to listen to what He said. He said He took it for the whole world. So all the wrong thinking in the world has been taken care of by that one atonement. And hereby, or literally, in this, we do know that we know Him. Now look what He's telling you. This is how we know the Christ. If we what? This is conditional. He said it's conditional. If you know Me, you'll do what? keep my commandments. If you turn to Revelation 14 and 12, I'll read you something. You don't have to turn it if you don't want to. Here is the patience of the saints. Keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. See, people say, we don't have any rules and regulations anymore. Everything goes. God don't care. Sin don't count. God's in control. Yeah, He is. Why does He keep saying, He that keeps my commandments is one that loves me? If the commandments are not important, why did God write them down? Could you figure that out, Ed? If God wrote them down, are they important? And God had somebody write them down. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And the second is the same as the first. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love. But, see, if we keep this commandment, one, love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and body, and love our neighbor as ourself, the rest of them all falls in order. You can't lie to nobody. You can't cheat nobody. You can't steal from nobody. You can't kill nobody. You can't bear false witness. You can't commit adultery and fornication. All these crazy things. You can't do them if you love somebody. And if you love Him, He said, you'll keep my commandments. So you can't do them, can you? You can't because you can't. You just can't do it. Phil and I talked today, and he said, all the things we were talking about, and I ain't going to reveal all that. I mean, he said, this one thing he spoke about, he said, all the time when I was in the world and all these bad things going on around me, there was something inside of me, and we talked about it, I said, the same thing was in my life, and he had paralleled with his. There was always this little voice. It would let me, God would let me go all over the place. I mean, He'd let me get sometimes so far away from Him, I'd think I was going off the end of the world. But when I get to that certain point, there was always something inside of me that stopped me from going that little bit further, which would have took me beyond coming back. He would let me go to those limits all the time. And there was something in there that just would not let you go beyond that point because you're a chosen seed. When you're that chosen seed, you can't go beyond that. He's going to let you go out there and learn for experience, but you're not going to go beyond the point of no return. He'll stop you. You'll never be able to do things. And see, that's because of the love that was hidden in our hearts from before the foundation of the world. It was already in there. And that thing is controlling, and that's the Christ. It's always been there. We just didn't know it, did we? Like that little picture back there? Some people are discovering things that's been there all the time. Little girl looking at her belly button. Verse 3, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And the one that says, I know Him and keeps not His commandments is a liar. And the truth is what? Literally what it says in Him, it says in this thing or in this just saying. Literally it's saying, just saying that I know Him don't make me in Him, does it? If I don't keep His commandments, guess what? If I say I know Him and don't keep His commandments, what am I? I'm a liar. See? Now, did I write this book? See? Well, then why do you think John said this? Do you think God wanted it written? Why? Why would God want this written? Well, the church runs around and says, judge not. Hello, don't they? Well, don't you think this is information to judge something? I am supposed to know those, the ones I labor among. I'm supposed to know them. Well, if I don't have any guidelines to measure that, then I'm going to judge them by my carnal thinking, by my own criteria. Would that make sense? If I don't have a guideline from God of how to measure things, well, then I'm going to think out it in my thinking. But God wrote it down and said, people who say that they know Him but keep not His commandments, they are what? They're liars. Now, you go down the road and you see somebody, and I'm not talking about someone just making a slip up. I'm talking there's people who are doing all kinds of crazy things and justifying it. Say, well, that's okay. God, if you walk down the road and said, brother, you're a liar. Sister, you're a liar. What are they going to do to you? Well, see, you don't have to condemn somebody, but we have to have an understanding. We have to know the truth. We can't accept everything, can we? I can accept everyone, but I can't accept all the things that go with it. Do you understand that? I can accept every person on the face of the earth, but I can't accept all the stuff that comes with them. And people who say they know Him and don't keep His commandments, it's very obvious here that they're liars. Intimate knowing Him. It's that intimate relationship with Him. So, verse 5, we'll go on to verse 5. But whoso, or the one that keeps His word, in this person, verily, of the is the love of God, what? Hello. Now see, if I keep His commandment, we're talking about something here. And this commandment is one commandment. And literally, it covers them all. It's love. I'll show you in a minute. Verse 5, I'll say it again. But the one that keeps His word, in this person, truly or verily, is the love of God perfected. By this know we that we are in Him. By what? This is the word right here. L-O-V-E. Love. By the love, the unconditional agape love. Okay? By the unconditional love. I don't care what problems you got. What does that have to do with me loving you? What was my problems got to do with you loving me? But the world and the church wants to hang all the conditions with it. Unconditional love means love. I don't love you if you agree with me. I love you in spite of you agreeing with me. Or if you disagree with me. What has that got to do with it? See, there's where everybody misses the boat. Me and Mike agree. Hey, we love each other. Me and Cindy don't agree. We don't like each other. We don't agree on it. You don't believe what I believe. I don't even want to be around you. Isn't that what the church does? I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. The ones who are supposed to be expressing the love of God surely are not doing it, are they? They're walking around with every kind of excuse and not the fellowship. They're looking for excuses. Why? They want out of responsibility. You know it's a responsibility to love somebody? It's a responsibility. There's accountability in relationship. You can't get away from accountability in relationship. If you love someone, you've got to have them in your heart. You can't get away from that. If I say I love you, I have a responsibility to you. And one time with Mike, back before you married Anita, you got in a little jam one time. You said something and she understood something else. Do you remember that? Mike said one thing, she heard something else. And she said something, and Mike heard something else. And I ain't going to get into all the details of it, but I think it was cute. And we sat down, and as we sat down, God told me what it was, the answer to it. They just misunderstood each other, what the word love meant. See? And if we know what this word means, love unconditionally, we won't say like Peter did when Jesus asked him, do you love me? We won't say what? Do you phileos me? He didn't say that. He said, do you agape me? But what was the answer Peter said? Do you phileos me? Say, yeah, I like you. You're okay. But not an unconditional love. It's still conditional. We got to get beyond that. This is what he's trying to tell us. Hereby we know, or by this, unconditional love, that we are in him. Now notice he didn't give you 15 different things that you had to meet before you knew you were in him. How many was it? One thing. And what is it? It's the love. Nothing else. If you love, you're in Him. And you know, love doesn't say but, or if, or all those other little things. Love is unconditional. Period. Love doesn't say, if you love me, I'll love you back. Jesus gave us agape love when we were yet away from Him. Separated from God, that he would die for us. He loved us when we didn't even know he existed. He loved us. See, unconditional love. We didn't love him, did we? That's what we're talking about. There's our example. There's no conditions in this love. I don't have to agree with you. You don't have to agree with me. But we are under obligation for something. To love one another. This is an obligation that God places upon us. Nothing else goes on. We have to love. Don't care whether we disagree. We have to love. Verse 6. He that says he abides in him ought to, or literally here says, you're under obligation. You must himself also in this way live, even as he lived. You understand that? He's saying, he that says he abides in him, that person that says, yes, I'm in Christ, he is under obligation also in this way to live just as Jesus, the man who walked on the earth, who was anointed with the Christ, lived. See, Jesus was a man who was anointed by the Christ, the Holy Spirit, and he was that example. And just as he lived, we have to do the same, right? So when we're anointed by the Holy Spirit, we have the Christ within us, the baptism of the Spirit, guess what? We have to walk just as he did. Nothing conditional about his love, was there? Verse 7, brethren, or beloved, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word, or the logos, which you have heard from the beginning. Oh my God. Watch this. I write no new commandment, but an old commandment. Do you know where this commandment came from? Look in Leviticus 19. I want you to go look at it. It's important that you see it. Verse 18. Larry and Faye coming there. Got late, probably working late. Okay, are you there? Verse 18. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book of the Bible. Got it? Verse 9, chapter 19, verse 18. Okay? Everybody there? Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. See, John, just as Paul, was very controversial in what he was saying. But you know what? It was no new thing, was it? This was a commandment under the law, right? It was under the law. We were commanded to love their neighbor as their self. Is that what it says? See, everybody thinks it's a new commandment. Guess what? It was from the beginning. Let me look at another verse here in this same chapter.